Welcome to Girls in Heels. On today's show, there's something in the news near and dear to the girl's heart. I'm dying to hear what they think about it. That is called a tease, lady.
Yes. Ooh.
That's a tease over there, Teresa.
I like to be teased. Tease me more, baby. Bring it on.
I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, with my co-host, Teresa Aprea, Nicole Napolitano, also known as the twins from Bravo's Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Season 6.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Season 6.
Well, I just want you to know something. You didn't hear me, but I was like screaming. If anything ever happened,
screaming
because you guys were talking in the other room, and these rooms really are soundproof.
Uh-huh. Is that a joke?
Well, when you and Teresa were talking, and you weren't noticing me in here, and I wanted to like get started, and I wanted to like be in on the conversation, so I'm screaming like, girls.
We did not hear her.
No, not at all.
Screaming on top of my lungs. And I said,
I thought she was singing to herself.
Screaming. And I'm like, wow, this is scary because this room really is soundproof.
Very soundproof because we can usually hear you.
I have to tell you something. Every parent's bedroom should be soundproof like this because the kids would never hear. They could scream and be wild and be like, why not? Like, why wouldn't they build houses? That would be brilliant for, you know, the new builders now these days, 2016. Mm-hmm. New homes build the master bedroom soundproof.
Right, so get a radio engineer in there to soundproof your bedroom the way they would a radio studio.
So the parents could have excellent sex, or if the husband's beating up on the wife, or the wife's killing
the
husband.
That's funny, Nicole.
I'm teasing. That was not funny. That was a poor joke. Sorry.
Anyway.
So here's what I was teasing. Yes. Here's what I was teasing. Okay.
Tease me, Teresa.
Now, you guys love your coffee.
Yes.
Love your coffee. Well, coffee is in the news today, and it's an interesting enough story that I was reading it, and I was like, I got to know what
you
these girls
Nicole.
Think. I thought of both of you guys immediately. Well, specifically Nicole, because I know you're like coffee.
Yeah, Nicole, you like coffee more. I'm not like, oh my God, I love my coffee.
All right, so Starbucks, as you know, huge company. Even though we are Dunkin' Donuts girls, Starbucks is out there. Once in a while, if we can't get to a Dunkin' Donuts, we will lower ourselves and go to a Starbucks.
Like, that's I'm going to tell you, I'm actually a McDonald's girl. I like the coffee the best.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shocker. Now, when I do drink it, I like McDonald's iced coffee. Mm-hmm. I really don't like Dunkin' Donuts anymore. I'm there because I love it. Because Dunkin' Donuts is my cheers of cold snack. It's the cheers of cold snack, but it's not my favorite coffee.
Did you break up with Dunkin' Donuts? Was there an incident?
I'm breaking up with a lot of things. I'm breaking up with Belvedere. I'm breaking up with Dunkin' Donuts. That's happening to my life.
So we'll get back to the Belvedere. But what about the coffee?
Tell me. Okay, so Starbucks, huge company, right? They've been sued a lot over the years. Last year, they were sued because the coffee was too hot. Today, we learned that they're being sued because the coffee is too cold. Goldilocks must be suing them. Yeah. I don't understand.
Wait a second.
So listen to this. There's this woman named Stacy Pincus. She's in Chicago. She has sued Starbucks for $5 million. It's a class action lawsuit, so all of us get to partake in this $5 million, okay?
Wow.
She says that the amount of ice Starbucks uses in their iced beverages is illegal. She said, because what they say, like, okay, so this cup is, let's say, 8 ounces of liquid beverage. But it's really only, like, 4.5 ounces of liquid beverage because the rest is ice. And she says ice is not a liquid beverage. So they're ripping us off.
I agree.
And it's false advertising,
it's
and they're lying to
you
us.
You agree, Nicole?
No, it's ridiculous. No, what I'm saying
is, I think she has nothing
is,
better to do, but she sounds like one of those professional sewers.
It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous, Teresa.
But Nicole,
I'm just saying
every
that
restaurant you go into puts ice in their soda, so what are you going to say? Oh, my God, don't charge me for this
Coca-Cola
because it's a lot of ice?
I think Starbucks is so overpriced, and I think their price should be low because, hey, listen, we get iced coffee all the time.
Hold on. I'm very bad with prices. Nicole knows me. I would do horrible on the prices, right? I ask me how much a gallon of milk is right now. I don't even know.
Can you imagine?
$5.69.
Thank you.
I don't even know. Well, except I know that my son buys these crazy farm eggs and they're like $8 for 12. So that's insane. $6. I don't even know. But and I only know that because I'm like, what the heck did you buy?
I do notice that when I go to Starbucks, when we get our iced coffee, it's half coffee and then they put ice in
it.
And I'm paying five something for it's crazy.
All right. So what's the outcome? She's suing now. This
she's
crazy.
She's
going to be one.
Starbucks is saying that, well, if you're unhappy with how much ice, you can just ask us for less ice.
Absolutely.
And she's like, that's not the point. I shouldn't have to say to you, hey, your iced coffee, the one that you advertise that's 8 ounces and you're only giving me 4.5 ounces of, I don't have to every time say to you, hey, give me less ice and more coffee. We shouldn't have to have that conversation every single time. This should be standardized and you should stop ripping us off because your coffee is the most expensive. And I think this is like a backlash. I think for a long time, people were all about Starbucks. Now, if you notice, there's all of these like every man is opening up everywhere and Think Coffee and
Rook
Grumpy.
Coffee
and right, exactly.
Yes.
So it's not about Starbucks and McDonald's and it's not about the large companies anymore. Now some of these little
mom and pops.
Yeah, mom and pops are opening up.
I think God bless this chick because she's got nothing else better to do.
She didn't want to take the 5 seconds.
This should be her only problem.
This
should be her only problem that there's too much effing ice in a cup. So you know what? God bless her because she's got a clear head.
She
needs to have a real issue to like deal with right now. So I think this is ridiculous.
Now
I can't even talk about her anymore.
Hours and hours in a courtroom, but you can waste 5 seconds to say, just put a little less ice on that. But I guess that 5 seconds
she obviously has nothing better to do with her life. I don't know. I think it's absurd.
I think this is whole backlash that people have against large companies. I think in
That's
general,
because like,
the
exactly.
thing is, I'm sure that like the small little coffee place across the street, Rex, that I go to all the time, I'm sure they do the same thing.
Right,
but
right.
it's just one place. I'm not going to get on the woman and be like, "Hey, lady." It's you know, I don't care.
I don't care.
Right, I don't care enough. But I think you feel like when it's Starbucks and it's like this big corporation, like, I think we're all being sick. We're sick of like being taken advantage of by these big corporations. So I think that's really what her message is. It's not about the coffee, it's the principle. But
you think so, or you think it has to do with wanting $5 million in a bank account?
Well, she knows that she's not going to get $5 million.
She knows, and it's a class action. She's splitting it, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone will get $1.
Right, right. That's right.
So it is the principle.
All right.
You know, and I think a lot of times you have to hit them with a number that hurts. You know, remember, that was the whole thing with Erin Andrews. People were like, what does she deserve, $55 million? Well, she doesn't. Mm. She needs to come up with a number that's going to have an effect on the hotel chain. You know, they have to, if she sued them for $5 million, they'd be like, hang on, honey, we have that in our pockets right here.
I agree, but that's why I think for this woman to sue Starbucks, I think $5 million was pennies. I think she should have gone for more if you're going to make a statement. $5 million is nothing for Starbucks.
Well, that's true, but it's one item. She wasn't
exactly.
raped there,
yeah.
you know.
It was like the woman who got burnt from the coffee at McDonald's. I think she got a few million dollars.
Well, but she really did get burnt.
Too
yeah.
high.
Right, exactly. Right. People in their coffee, man. Wow.
People in that.
We take it very serious. Nicole takes it very serious. I really don't.
All right, so now, Teresa, how come you're not talking to all these? So you and Dunkin' Donuts broke up. You and what's Belvedere?
No. Duncan and I did not really break up. I was just saying I'm really not crazy. Oh, yeah, vodka, Belvedere.
Oh, Belvedere, vodka.
You know when I came to the conclusion, Nicole and I were laughing on the way here, I said, and I'm really not a huge drinker, but when I do go out parties. No, I do. I could drink my vodka. Weekends come. No, you know this. We were having this conversation. Personally, there are people that are around me that drink way too much, okay? People very close to me. And I was having this conversation with Nicole and even my son the other day. I don't drink during the week. I don't. If there's an event, yes, I do drink. And I love my vodka. Everybody knows it. I drink it straight up on the rocks with my orange slices. Everyone even knows it from The Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. In my wine glass. My glasses are very important to me. It needs to be in a wine glass. Very pretty.
So you like the orange slices, not orange flavored vodka?
Absolutely not. Oh, no.
Interesting.
She needs the antioxidants.
No. Yeah, I don't like any flavored vodka.
So it's healthy vodka.
I like Belvedere. Yes. I like it on the rocks. And I like, fresh fruit. And in the summer, I love like raspberries and strawberries and blueberries. Like anything muddled, like a mojito, but with just vodka. So it's really good. But it was funny because friends of ours were out even Thursday night. And Nicole and I didn't go. We were too tired because we had a long weekend of parties every night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm like, no, we're going to just kind of sit out this one. But if something happened, there was an argument in the place or something, and I had 10 girlfriends there. It's amazing how you can, and my girlfriends are funny. We have a really good time, and they're great girls, good girls. But it's funny when you find out a story, and with everybody drinking, everything will be a little different. Or like one of my good friends is like, you know what? I don't even know how that argument started with those people in the restaurant. You just get so many different stories. Even with me, I was at a party this weekend and I was telling my girlfriend, oh my gosh, like my husband had said something and he got mad at me about something because he thought I said something. And honestly, I really perceived the situation as something so different. I asked my girlfriend. She's like, oh no, it wasn't that way at all. It's very ironic how when there's alcohol involved, soft cocoa bar.
So many different stories.
How there's
Teresa.
So many different stories, and you perceive things so different in your own head. Do you feel that way? Like when you're with your honey,
yes.
Do you feel like you'll come home after an event the next day and kind of be like, so are there times where he'll look at you and be like, that you were just. Drank way too much.
Well, I don't drink, and he stopped drinking because I don't drink because it's not fun to drink
Give
by
me
yourself.
An amen.
I know, but see, here's the thing: we have a friend, a really good friend of ours, who does drink, and there was one time. This was so many years ago, and he still like hasn't really lived it down. We were all at a party. Oh no, we were having a party. It was at our house, right? And you know, Joe doesn't drink. A little bit. He was having like a few whiskey sours or whatever with the guys, whatever. And I, you know, I wasn't drinking at all. And he had this one friend that was drinking a lot. And he was drinking a lot of different stuff. Like first he was doing shots, and then he had some beer, then he had something else. So by the end of the night, he was like really toasty, okay? Mm. And he cornered me in the kitchen and was like, well, he was sort of like, he put his hands like on my hips and pulled me close to tell me a story. Like he was like talking in my ear, and he said something inappropriate about like, I don't know, like what he thought of me and you know, whatever. It was very inappropriate.
Oh, come on.
It was really weird. It was total come on. It was a total come on. And it wasn't like him. I knew that it was because he was drunk. I mean, I was kind of flattered. You know what I mean? In a way.
But you know what they say, when there's alcohol involved, sometimes the truth comes out. So
yeah,
maybe
and
he was really attracted to you and he had the.
Did Joe walk in on you?
No, no, we were. It was
on the two of you chumming it up, getting all cozy with each other.
Cooper getting cozy.
Well, I don't know if I should say something to Joe because I didn't want to get his friend in trouble. But then I thought, you know, I better say something because if it comes out inappropriate and it somehow turns itself around on me, like I want to get ahead of this thing. Mm. So I said to him, you know, your friend was a little inappropriate with me last night. It wasn't like a little flirtation. It was kind of like, had no one else been here, he would have been ripping my clothes off. Like there's no question, you know.
Wow.
And Joe was like, ah, no, he was drunk. He didn't really mean that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, the next day he called Joe and he's like, I think I was inappropriate with Cooper. I said all these things to her. And so he fessed up to it. And he was like, I was so drunk. And this was years ago. To this day, he still apologizes. Like we have our own relationship. We go running together. Like we're trying to get in shape together, whatever.
Just the two of you?
Yeah. No. We go running together.
Sure, Cooper. Okay, Cooper. That's another topic we should really get into.
We believe you, Cooper.
But it was because he was that drunk, and he said he has not gotten that drunk since because he doesn't trust himself.
Wow. But I have to say, alcohol is scary. That's my point.
Yes.
Things come out of alcohol. I have to say, like, I'm a happy drunk. Like, I am like, woo. I am like a love fest when I drink. I am. I'm like, I love you, love you, love you, love you. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm happy. That's what I don't like. And see, my husband is either really, really good or he's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. See, I don't like that. That's not me. I am not nasty. I'm not a nasty person. Except if somebody twists me or I feel like I have to protect someone that I love, then I'm on my hind legs. But like, alcohol.
So does it make a difference with him what he drinks or how much? Like what changes him into
high? I don't
high?
Know. You know what's so funny? My
I know the
is
reason
so
why he could get nasty.
Why?
Because after listening to his father this weekend, he never had a bicycle growing up.
Oh, that's
funny. I think
funny.
It all goes back to him not having a bicycle. Maybe he has some anger issues.
That's another story in itself. I'll tell you the story after. It's about the bicycle.
No bicycle.
Typical time.
Me, no.
You know what? I do know what happens. My husband's either happy, 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 and we'll have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most of the time. But then there are times where I don't know what it is. And my girlfriend, Dawn, she's my best friend since we're 3 years old. And she knows it. She sees it. Like she's so aware of it. She'll be like, oh, when I see Reno start like going like this to his nails,
mm-hmm.
biting his nails, she's
the
like
body language,
she's
everything.
Like
it's coming.
He will switch and something will get so nasty where I'll be like, where did you come from? Like, I don't like that, you know? And I just,
so
I don't know.
So it's not the
I
amount some, and it's not the type of alcohol. It just is his mood. So
I
if he's in
know.
A bad mood and he drinks as opposed to a good mood and he drinks.
We're still trying to figure that out. Huh. I think it's just his brain. I don't know. I think it's, well, maybe it is. Maybe it's sometimes martinis. Maybe it's the martinis. Maybe, I don't know. Mm. But usually he's good, but I don't know. But he's sometimes.
I think it's called how much, Teresa.
It's probably how much.
It's
you're right.
Quantity.
I think, but that's the thing with alcohol, Cooper. You have to know when. You have to know. But I guess that's the difference with some people that know when to stop and when people do not know when enough is enough.
Right.
And I think that's always.
I think also the mood before you drink.
No, I don't know. But
I think that has something to do with it.
Does,
I know it does with
it
me.
Does.
If I'm twisted about something.
But alcohol is, that's what I'm saying. It could be a very slippery slope and a dangerous thing because you don't know how. Look at this guy. He yeah. can't even trust himself because he'll think he's, you know, stop making passes.
I mean,
at
he
his
was
friends,
all
girls.
Over like his hands and like it was so uncomfortable and weird. And I didn't want to be rude, but I also didn't want him touching me. It was like one of those things. And I used to be a bartender in a Mexican restaurant, so I know what tequila does to people. And it's very
that's
different.
An upper. Yeah.
It's very different than like I used to work in this other bar where like it was mostly vodka and beer. And vodka and beer people would like drink and be fine. But there was something about the tequila that made people like crazy.
I agree. You know, my joke is no texting on tequila.
That's Nicole, yes.
Because I was on a cruise and I was texting someone and I said, oh, my friend, my girlfriend Dawn, again, was with me. And we were on the cruise and we just came back from, I think it was St. Thomas that day. And we got back on the cruise and we were doing tequila and we were having fun with all Reno and all the couples. And of course, I did tequila. And she goes, do not text.
Put your phone away.
Put your phone away.
Put your phone away, yeah.
No one should be texting on tequila because it make it, I don't know, it does make me crazy.
And all you want to do on tequila is text.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to, I have to.
Whether you're in a great mood or if you're in a twisted mood. Forget a twisted mood on tequila.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I'm not a nasty drunk. I'm not. I'm really, really not. But then I thought to myself, you know what? Now it's on the call. I said, I decided. I think I'm going to watch now only because this last week there's been ups and downs and great parties and not so with, you know, either getting along great, having a great time or, you know, there have been some even in restaurants who one person had an argument and the stories, 101 different stories. Who's this? Who's that? Who's flirtatious with somebody's, you know, you hear so many different things, you know? So
right.
I'm like, you know what? I am so tired of this. I am going to take a little break. And from now on, when I go to parties and I go out, because I don't have to drink, you know, that thank God I don't have that problem. I could drink either way. I'm always woohoo, life is great, and you know, Therese is always Miss Fun. But so I said, for the next few weeks, I'm just going to really watch.
Oh.
And I really want to observe and really see now what really goes on.
How messed up
without alcohol. No, I do, because then I want to see. Then I can't get blamed for anything. I can't get blamed, you drank too much, or you said this, or you said that. And so now I'm going
to
just watch.
Here's what's going to happen.
So I can't get in trouble.
As somebody who doesn't drink, that hangs out with a big group of people who drink a lot.
Yes.
After a while, you start to see your friends when they're really drunk, and some of them, it's a real turnoff. And then you're like, why am I friends with that person? At the end of all this, at the end of these couple of weeks, you're going to be like, I don't like any of these people.
No, except my girls. I love my girls. But you're right. There are
people. You may say that about your husband. No,
teasing.
But I'm only teasing.
No, but it's true. I love my girls. But our guys, yeah, they drink a lot. They do. They drink.
I had this best friend, Denise, and she was my best friend. And I stopped drinking and she didn't. And every time we would go out, she would get like bad drunk. And after a while, I was like, I don't think I like Denise anymore. I don't like her sober. I don't like her drunk. I just don't like her. Yeah, I just stopped liking her.
How did she act?
Oh, my God. She's really shy. Like if you met her, she's really like shy. But there's something about alcohol that the inner Denise comes out. And I don't like drunk Denise at all. And she would be like all over everybody and telling stories and really telling people like, I don't like that what you're wearing. And I don't like this guy you're dating. And suddenly she's this expert and she's the opposite of shy. And she's telling everybody how to live their lives. Like she becomes one of these drunks. And she's like, I've been meaning to tell you. And I think it's because she's so shy. She doesn't say these things when she's sober. But she gets drunk so she can let all this stuff out.
And she
has no filter. So there's no gray area. It's either she's sober and sweet or she's drunk and obnoxious.
No. I call those like martini muscles. Like all of a sudden people get their muscles. No good. But anyway, on another note, we'll get rid of the alcohol. Nicole was telling a funny story about when she said about Reno's bicycle. I was laughing with my mom the other day because Reno's father calls. Reno's posting.
Well, first off, Cooper follows Reno on Twitter.
Oh, did you see his motorcycle? That's not his motorcycle. It's his friend's motorcycle.
He was posting a picture with the motorcycle?
My new motorcycle. I'm like, Reno, you're not getting a motorcycle, really. It winds up like...
He was thinking about it, though.
Well, all the guys are going to be riding this summer down the shore. So he wants a motorcycle. His friend says, listen... I have a Harley. I don't even use it. Use mine.
Wow.
I don't know if he was going to sell it to him, give it to him, whatever. Just make him use it. So Reno's like, this is my new bike to us. I go, no, it's not. Like, I'm not getting on it with you. I mean, the bike weighs more than him. My son's not getting on it with you. So his father's old school Italian. Like, seriously. Like, you know, when he rules with the fist. Like, what he says, you know, the old Italian accent. And Reno still fears his father. Like when I tell you that Italian fear, wow. father, something. Oh, yeah, he does. Trust me. What his father says. Like, yeah. So he goes, oh, yeah. So he
she
goes,
gets a call the other day. She's with me, and I hear the Italian accent in the background.
Oh, no.
He goes, Teresa. He goes, no, you tell Reno to return the bike to the store now. Now you return the bike. I go, no, don't worry, Giovanni. His name's wrong. Don't worry, Giovanni.
He's not ride that bike.
He goes, he no ride that bike. He goes, I know, get on my bicycle when he was little, and now he's not going to ride a motorcycle.
Oh.
I got off the phone. I said, I went downstairs. I said,
he goes, I never even get on my bicycle when he was little. He'd get off. He know ride a motorcycle.
I said, that's it. He never had a bicycle. So I went downstairs. I said, Reno, I said, not for nothing, but your father just gave me a whole lecture. I go, number one, you can't ride the bike. Get her off social media because your sister probably told him.
Right.
But Teresa said, you never had a bicycle? And he said, no, my parents never bought me a bicycle. They were scared he was going to fall off and get hurt.
That's so ridiculous.
So
it's pathetic. I mean, what kid doesn't have a bicycle? Now that I think about it, I never saw him.
Best memories. Like, I remember the first time I got my red tricycle. I remember the first time we got our two-wheeler with our yellow bike with the banana seat with flowers. Mm-hmm.
And Grandpa taught us how to ride it with Daddy.
We took our training wheels off. Right. And Daddy and Grandpa and Nonna was there, and they all taught us how to ride. Like, those are memories. Those are outrageous memories of us growing up.
See, we were allowed to fail and fall off and scratch our knees. That's what Reno's problem. You get back up
and you try again. They did not allow him to fail. They were scared. And for you car owners,
you don't realize. So us city kids all use bikes on a regular basis. Mm. My boyfriend's mode of transportation is a bicycle. He gets on his bicycle every single day. He bikes to work. He bikes at work. A bicycle is his major form of transportation. We're constantly like upgrading it. It's in the shop. Yeah. We get a better one. We get a new seat. We get this. We get that. I had a bike here too that I was just not riding as much. And one of my best friends bought this amazing house in Southampton. And he's like, why don't you bring your bike out? So I brought my bike out and we were biking for like 10
love
miles.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck it.
Riding.
I'm leaving my bike out here because I'm going to bike more in the Hamptons than I am in the city.
Totally.
So like I have a bike. He has a bike. Like us city people that have no cars, we all have bikes.
Yeah. I mean, now Reno has a bike. I mean, as he got older, we would go bike riding when Giovanni was little. We got the little seat for him.
Well, so now I know why he looks so excited now when he puts the bike on back of the car. He goes, I'm going to go bike riding. And he's so like euphoric. Yeah.
Oh, dear God. I'm figuring out all these things right now. I should really be a psychologist. I really should.
You really should.
Because I just have cases around me.
Exactly. You love studies. You love the brain. Like, you love all that stuff. I know.
You loved it in school, too.
I did.
Psychology, sociology, you took all those classes.
Can we talk about something superficial real quick?
Yes.
I want to know about Nicole's bag.
Oh.
I'm obsessed with that bag. It's beautiful and gorgeous, and I feel like I've been seeing it in magazines lately. I feel like you're so cutting edge when it comes to fashion.
Oh, thank you.
It's the new style. You had it for 3 months now.
Yeah.
Tell us.
So how do you know? Like, how did you know to get... Because that bag is everywhere now, but you had it early. Like, how do you know?
When it first came out. And I did receive it as a gift from someone very special.
Mm-hmm.
And
your honey.
My honey. Yeah. First of all, I like Louis bags. I mean, I love bags. I love bags. I love watch. I love shoes. What don't I love when it comes to fashion? But believe it or not, when it comes to, like, new bags, like, I know which are, like, you know, the new ones that are coming out. Like, Teresa's wearing my bag today. That's an old LV, but that's, like...
It has blocks.
That's, like, my limited edition. Anyone who had seen the show, I talked about it because I love it. That bag has done a lot of damage.
And you can't get it anymore, yeah.
Madonna has that one.
I actually called up because one woman from Bra was like, I want that bag. So I called Louis and they're like, no, I told you that was the limited edition. He's like, unless you want to call Madonna or he named like a couple of other like... Popular pizza out there. But when you walk into a store,
right, they have a new line. It's not a new bag. They have a whole new line.
How do you know
to choose the one bag that is going to be everywhere that's really popular? How do you know?
I don't choose a bag because it's popular or it's the newest one out. Believe it or not, I go in there and I see what really, like, jumps out at me and one that I just love. It's like that with fashion. Like, I don't care what's, like, the new, like, YSL out. If I like it, I like it. If I could see myself wearing it, mm-hmm. you know, then I get it. But
you have good taste, sister.
Thank you, honey.
And then I get to wear them and we get to share
and
them.
And then we just share.
So much fun.
Exactly. Like, I'll be like, I'll get this color Chanel. And she's like, all right, I'll get this color. And I'm like, no point of having two black ones because...
Stupid, yeah.
Or a red one.
Because we're always together anyway.
Right.
And we don't need to look like Bopsy twins. We're twins as it is, so...
Yeah, like, we dressed alike long enough.
I know,
did you dress alike when you were kids?
Different colors.
Well, when we were babies, little we did, yeah.
My mother dressed us exactly alike until we were in first grade.
You know, my mom had a boutique. It was called Bandy Legs.
I didn't know that.
And it was all clothes from Europe.
She was so ahead of her time.
My mother was always ahead of her time.
Oh, yeah. She was in the paper and everything. And no one so many years ago had boutiques. Like, now boutiques are like a dime a dozen. And that's the thing, to have a children's boutique. But my mother, when we were born, to have a children's boutique from Europe, everything was imported. Sheepskin little coats. I mean, we were like
Paris. The stuff was really beautiful.
Yeah,
Paris. We would get off the bus in nursery school. Remember, London. And I couldn't wait to go to the store. Yeah. And we used to play and just try. We loved clothes back then.
Everything was European.
We were doomed. We were doomed.
And even her boutique, the way my mother like decorated back then was
really
this
cool.
Really cool. She was like so way ahead of her times.
So she dressed alike, similar but not exactly alike.
Well, we dressed alike until we were in first grade. And then what she would do is
But even when we were little, sometimes different colors. I saw a picture of us even when we were 4 or 5. Some were alike. Some were exactly like when grandma knitted us outfits. But then there was stuff in different colors.
Like if we had like
was
a linen...
it your choice? Did you want to dress alike?
Oh, well, yeah, we did. Well, Nicole,
I have to tell you. Like if we ever had like a linen dress, she would get us like the same style, but maybe one in white and one in pink. And she always put us in cute little hats and shoes. But Teresa was always the one. And I remember her bringing stuff home from the boutique. It is very funny at a young age because you really could see someone's personality. Mm. And Teresa would always say... She would go through, you know, the boxes and this and that and say, I want to wear this one, I want to wear this one, I want to wear this one. And she would always, and my mother would say, is that okay with you, Nicole? And my mother would.
So true. I remember this.
She was so adamant. Like, I want.
Nicole was more passive.
I want this
she
one, I
really
want this
gave
one.
Me my white.
Wow.
Hold
and
on.
I
always
Do
gave
you remember
her
when mommy came home with the navy and white bikini and then the khaki and red one? Don't say which one you took. Do you remember that one?
Yep.
Hold on. I had the.
Okay.
Which one did she have?
I had the khaki and red.
Totally. See? I just closed. And I remember, I was like, I want this navy and white one. It was twisted. And I remember saying, the other one's pretty, but Nicole, you can have that one.
But it's funny. You see, from such a young age, you can see our personalities.
Like an aesthetic, yeah.
And my mother always said, Nicole, you were so good. You always give in to Teresa. She always had to have what she wanted.
Don't you remember? I used to take Nicole out of the crib. I was so
strong.
I used to throw myself out of the crib and then get a chair and pull it up.
I'd go get her.
And we used to sneak out of our crib. We would
sneak out of the crib.
She
would say,
no, you would sneak out of your crib and you would take her with you as your accomplice.
Yeah,
that's different.
She would wake me up in the middle of the night and tell me, and I would be scared to climb out of my crib. And it's so funny because my girlfriend Dawn always says, again, we talk about her a lot, you remind me, you talk about our childhood, and I forget so many things, but you remind me of everything we did because we know each other from when we were 3 years old.
Yeah.
And so we really do have a very good memory, and I remember the feeling today of Teresa outside the crib and her always telling me, jump over, jump over. And I was always so scared of jumping over, and she would do that. Yeah. And then we would get yelled at, and she would always tell me, don't cry. Don't show mommy you're crying. Don't cry.
Wow.
Don't
show. Yeah, I was a very sweet kid, but I was just very strong.
Don't show mommy.
No, I'd be like, don't
crying.
Give him the satisfaction. Because
so
sometimes she
would, and she on the stairs, and she'd be like, "Don't cry. Don't show we're crying."
That's really interesting.
I did cry though. I did cry.
No, you didn't.
I wasn't a big.
Oh my goodness, you're not a big cry. Until this day, Teresa, it takes you a lot to cry.
No, but let me tell you, the other day. I watched Meet Joe Black. Oh my gosh. I literally was bawling.
Like that you'll cry over.
Oh
she
my
cried
God.
Over. Yeah, she did tell me that.
I love movies. You know when I cried a lot and it was so funny? When I was pregnant, I was very sensitive. I remember being pregnant saying, wow, everything makes me cry. Like sweet commercials. And that's when I think that was my turnaround.
Do you know for 9 months, I did not watch the news once when I was pregnant?
Why?
I could not. I was
so... The negativity.
Mm-hmm. I could not even turn on the television.
I never do when I was pregnant.
And that's crazy.
In some of those gratitude books, some of the things we've talked about, that's one of the things that they say. Like, if you want to have a happier life, if you want to be happy, don't watch the news first thing in the morning. They don't say don't watch the news at all because if you want to, you've got to stay informed.
Yes.
But they're saying that don't watch the news first thing in the morning because the news is just all negative. There's no positive news when you tune in. It's
absolutely.
Like one death, one car accident, one that, one fire. I mean, there's always something negative. If it bleeds, it leads, you know?
Yeah,
so
I agree.
And it's so true because like we've done so much personal development and you know that was our company for a while that we were involved in and everything was really stay away from the news and you know anything like just it's so bad for your vibration. It brings down your vibration, but it's so bad because even some shows, you know, like don't watch all these, you know, and I'm a big I'm a big, I love Blue Bloods like we spoke about
right,
last week. But I also love Criminal Minds. Criminal Minds is very dark.
Very dark.
Yeah.
And it's really not good, but I'm addicted to it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, because I love the profiling and mm-hmm, I love like, mm-hmm. But then I said to myself, Teresa, what are you doing? Like, this is everything that's so not you, but I love it. I can't help it.
I feel, I'm fascinated by all that. I watch a lot of those shows. I mean, I like Law and Order and stuff like that, but I like a lot of the real stuff. Mm. Like a lot of the stuff on Discovery ID with, you know, the real yes. murders and stuff like that. Scorned is one of my favorite shows. You know, and I don't know what it is about that I'm so fascinated by. Just the, I guess, people willing to kill over really senseless stuff. Like, most of the time, it's nothing. I just find it so, the criminal mind, that whole, if I ever went into psychology in any real way, I would want to go into, like, forensic psychology.
I
mitered in forensic psychology in grad
Wild.
School, but that's something I would definitely be interested in, like, assessing, doing assessments of criminal minds, and then, like, then having to get on the stand and, like, testify either on behalf of the either side, the prosecution or the defense. I find it fascinating.
I think it's so fascinating, and why was so like enthralled, because you're watching these programs and you're saying, these people look like normal people. The guys who kill their wives,
right.
or the guy who kills his pregnant wife because he's having an affair and
with a stripper.
Baby. Yeah, exactly.
That one?
These are people who look like your neighbors, who look like your friends. I mean, it's crazy. And they could commit such a brutal crime like that.
Right.
And they look normal.
Right.
But that's what I was, oh my gosh, I saw those, the Cleveland kidnappers. They were on, one of the talk shows. These girls, two of them were on.
Oh, those three girls who were found after like many years.
After 10 years, mm-hmm. a decade.
Right.
Two were on a talk show and one wasn't. It was so amazing. But you know what was more amazing? To see the strength of something unimaginable, what they went through. She said, my life became really just 5 feet, a diameter of 5 feet. The chain was 5 feet. That's what her whole world just became of. And yet, look how strong she is. Like, she's had a baby in captivity.
Yeah.
And yet, they're overcoming it. God bless them. Their strength.
That's where mind is so powerful. You could either get through it, and what she thought about, you know, all those years or whatever, and she used it in a positive way. She chose, you know, she made that choice. Or she could have made a choice to be destructive and think negative things, and she would have never made it through all those years.
And you know what I think, Cooper?
Our brain is so powerful.
No, and you're right. And I think that's a lesson, even for everybody listening, no matter guys, girls, young, old. And this is a major thing. You could either be a victim or a victor. And that's a huge step.
It's hard to know unless you're in the situation. In my mind, I think, like, I'd be fighting. I'd be such a victor. I'd be like, fuck him. But then when you're in the situation, when you're under, like, that degree of fear on a regular basis, you don't know what that does to you. I mean, I don't handle anxiety very well. So I don't know how well I'd handle a situation
That's why I said these girls, God bless them, because none of us have been through it, thank God. And yet you never, what the brain is capable of, the heart. That's what they were saying. The heart, where one part is weak, the other part is so strong, and it just gets you through things. Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
I know. What else?
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there, you guys.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to miss you girls.
Why? Well, I'm glad you came into the room.
Well, I don't know.
Just
because we have some. We could just talk.
Oh, you mean until next week?
Until next week.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, like,
until
going away somewhere and just announcing it now.
Nah, I'm here.
All right, in that case, we will be back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels. Thank you so much for downloading. Thank you for listening. And please tell your friends about us.
Yes.
Everyone
have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Cheers.